Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What's the Word podcast. We got a very special episode for you today here on episode number 6. As you know, this show is all about connecting with the electrical industry, having relevant conversations with members from throughout the industry, just to learn a little bit more. However, you're always here listening to me and Jason talk to guests. I figured today we would have Jason Cox on and he can talk about why he's here on the show and his background. And we'll go from there. So I'm really glad today to be talking to my co-host normally, Jason Cox.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Zach. I'm probably going to smile more in this episode than anyone will ever do.
Obviously, Jason, we started this podcast and we've got 5 episodes down already and we've had tons of fun. We've got a lot of good guests lined up or in the works. But I want to know a little bit more about you. And I think our guests might want to know a little bit more about you. And of course, we'll do an episode where you can ask me some questions later on. So why don't you tell me about your pathway into the trade, how you got into the trade, and we'll start with that.
All right. So, and we say so when we ask the questions, and I'm starting with a so. How I got into the trade. I, like most people my age in the early 90s, society was sending all of us to university when we graduated from high school. A lot of the times we didn't know why we were going. That was just the career path that we were supposed to follow. And so I had no idea what to take university. And so I was really, it was difficult for me to jump on board and go in that direction and not have an idea of why I was going. So I took a year off, which is very similar to a lot of people we've heard from. And I took a year off hoping that some epiphany would come. It never did. I did end up, attending 2.5 years of, Mount Royal College in Calgary, which is now Mount Royal University. And I was working on a degree. However, the trouble I had getting into university, not knowing what I was doing, plagued me through that whole time at Mount Royal to a point where I finally had to tap out and say, I can't do this anymore. I have no desire to be here. So I decided to take a break from university or college. And I knew I had to get a job. But I thought, you know what, why don't I get a job that has, it's crazy, our landline is ringing. Why don't I get a job where I can actually like build something and make more money than just the bottom end entry level minimum wage stuff, right? So I actually dropped out of university, or I like to say I completed a semester and then left. So when people say drop out, it kind of always bugs me. But and so eventually I phoned my uncle, who is an electrician, and I said, hey, I'm gonna look at getting a trade. What do you think? And like all electricians, he said, oh, well, come see me. And I wasn't looking to be an electrician. I just wanted to talk to a tradesperson. But he said, well, come see me and we'll get you out of the trade real quick. But it didn't happen. And here I am still today. So that's kind of how I got into the trade.
No. And like you say, that's a story we hear from so many people, right? It's, they're not quite sure what to do. So they almost stumble into electrical. And I mean, of course, all of our guests are still involved in the industry, but it's a good stepping stone into other paths. So once you got in, where's that taking you over? You said early 90s. So I mean, not to put a number on it, but in the last 3 decades, where has that taken you to?
Well, we're not quite at 3 decades yet, but so I kind of stumbled on this in one of our previous podcasts and people probably didn't pick up on it, but I was actually indentured twice. So I started my apprenticeship in British Columbia and I worked there for my uncle, and he was a single owner, single employee company. I was the only ever, pardon me, employee with the company. And I worked for him for about 6 months in the Kootenays. And I enjoyed what I was doing, but being a young adult in the Kootenays. It was quite isolated. And I decided after a period of time of doing a lot of residential and actually a little bit of diversity, it was a beautiful area to live, but I needed to move back to Alberta and work in the Calgary area. And so needless to say, and actually, to be honest, I didn't mention this earlier, but I did initially look at joining the union out of, well, when I first started this adventure, my uncle said, I don't know, phone the union, see if they'll put you to work. But there was no work in Alberta. And so my uncle said, well, come out and work for me. So I worked for him for over six or eight months. I don't really recall how many months, but, and then moved to Alberta. Still no work in Alberta, but I got a job, but it was in industrial. So I didn't know what that was. So I just said, sure, electrical's electrical, and went and did some industrial for a year and a bit. Decided I didn't want to do that. And then spent the bulk of my career in electrical working for a larger commercial company in Calgary. So I did that for, well, since, I mean, obviously, yeah, that I think that was my last employer before my education career took off.
Nice. Very cool. And I want to get to your education career because it's, I don't know, how we met and why you're here. And along the way, you got a second ticket. You picked up your data communication wireless something technician. You tell us what that is.
So it's very interesting. This multiple ticket phenomena, or whatever we want to call it now, is becoming very common. You and I both know several people that hold more than one ticket. So the company I was working for had the opportunity to start training apprentices so it was an electrical contractor, but they also would now have the ability to train communication electricians. So I indentured in that apprenticeship after receiving my Red Seal journeyman ticket. I think I worked as a journeyman for 1 year, maybe. It was a long time ago. Worked as a journeyman for a year and then looked at that opportunity to do the data apprenticeship. And so I indentured into a program called a communication electrician network craft. So that apprenticeship was split into two different sections, the network craft and then the construction craft. So the construction craft would be actually mounting the poles and running the telephone and data and fiber lines and all the underground stuff. And I was more interested in the interconnection stuff. So I started in that apprenticeship, and actually our company could only indenture in the network craft. Yeah. That, 'cause we were in that skill set. So I decided to do that, like many other people that we will probably talk to and have talked to, because more training equals more job security. And one of the things that's lost in our trade over the last probably decade is the fact that working in the trade, especially in the electrical trade, it wasn't always a guaranteed thing that you would work 40 hours a week full-time all the year, right? There was times when I was always looking to see what the next job would be. Hey, where are we going next? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And there were times in my experience in industrial and in commercial where you'd have to wait a couple of days for a job to start up. And my experience with our company in Calgary was that the more skills I had, the longer I'd be working. So that's why I looked into a second apprenticeship. So that's why I did it.
So this electrician communication network craft apprenticeship that you did, is this still an option? Is this still a ticket that's available in Alberta? And do you recommend that other journeyman electricians look into it as a viable second path?
Well, something interesting about that is, first of all, our listeners will understand that the electrician trade in Alberta is a Red Seal trade. My second ticket is actually not a Red Seal trade, which I find amazing, but it's a moot point to me because I already have one Red Seal, so who cares? However, that apprenticeship actually changed while I was in it. And so initially it was called a communication electrician in the network craft. And then they just changed that apprenticeship to be called now a communication technician. So that change in the actual name of the apprenticeship annoyed a few people because they wanted to be called a journeyman when it finished. And very similar to Chelsea in our last episode, there was both men and women that said, I want to be called a journeyman. I'm a journeyman. And I agreed with what they were saying, but I was fortunate because I was already a Red Seal electrician. Now, is that trade still available? When I indentured in that trade, the problem was that trade was predominantly for members of TELUS or members that worked at AGT. So AGT and TELUS. So it was a TELUS basically, like there was three of us in our apprenticeship that were not TELUS employees. And so Nate and Sate did the training for that. It was a new training program for Sate. And when I indentured, I had to wait a very long time to actually get the schooling in Calgary. There was just a delay in demand, and there wasn't enough students to put it on in Calgary. So to answer that question now, is that apprenticeship still available? I believe it is. It is not available if you would like to train in Calgary. I believe that training is being done in Edmonton, but I do not know if that training is being done by Nate or if it's being done in-house by TELUS. So if people are interested in that trade, I definitely would talk to them about it. I would... and give them my opinion about it. The funny thing is that the theory and the training in the communication apprenticeship was harder than in the electrical apprenticeship. So as a person with two tickets in communications and in power electrician, whatever we call it, as an electrician, I was always kind of like the go-between, right? The stereotypes of the electrician and the data guy, right? So I'd always kind of talk back and forth to both sides, because many times you would be on sites where there would be a contractor for the power on the site and then another contractor for the voice and data communication. So it'd be funny because on one site I could be the power guy, the next site I could be the data guy, and on some sites I was both. And I am proud that I was the first two ticket journeyman, or the person with two tickets at my company in Calgary, is the first one ever in their company. So yeah, talk to me more if you're looking at communication apprenticeship, and we'd probably both have to look it up together.
Nice. Very cool. So with that double ticket in communications and electricians, what kind of doors did that open for you in the field?
Well, it's funny because when we first talked about, in a previous episode, I talked about not wanting to be the ditch digger, and because I was a laborer, and then I wanted to become the apprentice. So we'd get, I was too good for digging the ditch, right? So I was a little naive with that. So I kind of thought that once I was a journeyman electrician now, and now I was indentured in a apprenticeship in communication now, that I'd be off of all the hard rough stuff of the electrician job, right? But it turned out that no, I was exploited for both positions. So I did run around Alberta, and I ran a bunch of rigid steel conduit, and I pulled in a lot of fiber. So that was kind of a neat experience. There's not a lot of data guys that are running rigid steel, right? So that was kind of cool. I was lucky over my years in the trade. I was in residential, commercial, industrial, lots of different experiences, and overall lots of really neat places, neat buildings. I had no criminal record, and I still don't, so I was able to get some pretty high security for electrical installs, and went to some really interesting buildings and sites in Alberta running fiber for the Alberta government. So that was pretty cool. So did lots of stuff.
So after all this, these experiences in the field, you found yourself landed into an electrical trades instructor teaching in the apprenticeship program. How did that transition go and why did you make the switch?
Well, if I go back to that time when I was like blindly entering into Mount Royal and they said, what do you want to do for a career? I was like, I don't know. I thought I want to be a politician. I would like to be a lawyer or maybe a teacher. So I started a degree in Canadian history, but way back then, right? So then I kind of threw all that away and did the apprenticeship. And like Chelsea said in the last episode, when I got to secondary training or technical training here in Calgary, technical training for me was great. I was invested in the program. I liked learning and I enjoyed it and I was successful. And so school was a very positive experience for me. And I worked in a cohort with about five or six other apprentices. We did all of our apprenticeship together. So we worked together, we learned together, we taught each other stuff. And then also over the apprenticeship, I spent a lot of time learning from people, from my journeymen and from other apprentices. And then of course I was starting to also teach other people. So I enjoyed teaching people. I enjoyed seeing them be successful. I had a positive experience when I went to SAIT for the electrical. I had a very positive experience when I went to SAIT and NAIT for the communication apprenticeship. And I was very fortunate that at the time my teaching opportunity became available in Calgary, there was already a handful of people that I'd worked with in the trade that were now teaching electrical apprenticeship. So, and they continually through the years encouraged me to come and try and become an apprenticeship instructor. And so the opportunity was there. And ironically, two of my former apprentices had also applied for the same position. That year we hired 10 plus instructors. So I was actually hired with two of my former apprentices. And that was 15 years ago. So I've been teaching now for 15 years. And you know what? It's lots of fun. So in the trades, there was a lot of hard work and some fun days, but with my teaching job now, we try and have fun every day.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool that you've been in that role now for 15 years, seeing as things have changed over the years. I mean, COVID aside, the last 18 months aside, I'm sure there's been a ton of change in that education field for apprenticeships. What have you seen changed for apprentices coming to school? What's the experience like for them? How is it different now from 10 years ago?
I'd probably look at it more from the perspective of how is it different now than when I was an apprentice, because you kind of remember that stuff versus 10 years ago today. But so back when I was an apprentice, we didn't have the ILMs. So basically it was some note packs pre-manufactured by the instructors and textbooks. And so now today the ILM framework's in place.
What are the ILMs?
So I believe those are called independent learning modules. And so for each year of the apprenticeship, there's different subjects, as you know, and like code would have a module on section 10 for grounding and bonding. So back in the day, we probably wrote more notes, but now today the students have those paper resources in front of them. We also back in the day too had very limited or archaic computer systems to do online quizzes. That of course has changed over the last, since I started in the trade. And now of course students can now do their online quizzes and some of their online assignments on their phones. So the big thing that's changed since I started working in the education field and where we are today is, of course, technology. When I first started, if you could get color overheads for your class, right, you were like, you were giving the primo presentation. Whereas now, I mean, everything's done. Like, I mean, now we have the internet. And on that's another thing too. When I did my apprenticeship, we did not have the internet. So now as an instructor with the internet, you can, there's so many resources online to help you supplement your information and to help the students. And so, yeah, so technology has changed so much. And then obviously now, using products like Zoom and Microsoft Office, we're able to still present the course material to the students virtually.
Yes, and there's definitely been no quicker pace of change in technology than what we've actually seen in the last 20 months since the start of the pandemic. So to hear about everything going online and what students are going through now, I think is a, it's such a cool tool and a learning experience for the students as well to learn in a different environment and learn some extra Zoom and Microsoft Office, right? It's just another skill set that those students can even add to their bag of tricks that they have, right, when they're out in the workforce looking. What I want to know is you came in, you became an instructor, you've been there 15 years, you sound passionate about it, you sound like you like it. How have you kept that passion going, and what makes it the right job for you, and what have you done to keep up your teaching skills over the years?
Well, I'm having fun. So that's a big thing too, right? We've all been in positions where we've had jobs that we didn't like our jobs, right? So until somebody pays me to be a recreational golfer, right? I mean, I'm having fun teaching. Now, I'm very fortunate too, because I work with a lot of really good people, and I have a few colleagues that kind of were at the front of the line and were ahead of me and paving some new directions. And so teaching at the very beginning, I mean, you're just trying to survive and be successful for your students. So you're pulling out your hair, freaking out, thinking that you have to know everything, right? When really a lot of education and learning happens collaboratively with everyone. So you don't, when I first started out, I probably thought I needed to know all the answers, but I mean, now I realize that it's okay to learn with your class and learn together. I mean, obviously you should have an understanding of what you're doing, right? But over the years, I also wanted to make sure that I was not just an electrician that was teaching ILMs. I wanted to actually improve my own skill set. So I enrolled in a provincial instructor diploma program through Vancouver Community College and kind of learned some of the foundations about teaching. And it was very helpful for us to build material that was valid, right? So everyone's told stories in their life about that multiple choice exam where all the answers were C's and you changed one answer because you thought this can't be, right? So I did the provincial instructor diploma to make sure that what I was doing was valid. I wanted to make sure I was doing the right job. So I did that, and it was very beneficial. I really enjoyed it. I was very fortunate that all my courses in that program were in person. I realized that that's changed a little bit now, and now it's a lot more online as everything's online. And then a few years later, my colleagues started master's programs. And at the time I just giggled. I thought there's no way I'd ever look at doing a master's degree. And so I watched a few colleagues go through and do that. And it was nice because I saw people that I'd worked with for years, and it gave me the confidence that if they could do a master's degree, I could. So I did, within the last 5 years, complete a master's degree in adult education. And that was really good for me because one of the things I've discovered through my experience over the last 25 years is how society looks at tradespeople and how society looks at people with degrees. So now I'm a tradesperson with a degree. So, and I think that that's been pretty beneficial for myself, and I'm hoping that it's been beneficial for my students.
Yeah, and hopefully that's something that the industry as a whole can address, is that, you know, stigma towards tradespeople, right? I mean, I think everyone in the trade can think back to a time in, you're in your work clothes and you get on an elevator in a building downtown. And I don't know, there's just that almost stigma associated with it. So I think trying to drive the industry away from that is obviously beneficial for everyone involved.
Yeah, and that stigma exists, and I'm guilty of it as well. Where I went to high school, we had it was called Trades and Services back in the day. Vocational learning, where you could have learned about woodworking, automotives, welding. And I mean, like I said, I was brought up in a society where we were expected to go to university. So we just scoff at the students that would go down to the automotive wing and work on cars and come back to social studies with their fingers all covered in oil, like, oh, freaking Neanderthal or whatever, right? And I mean, we were just young kids, stupid. We didn't know what was going on. So it was interesting. I was thinking about that this morning. That was the first time I was like, I was guilty of the stigma. And when I decided to do an apprenticeship, I didn't look at myself as a university dropout. Like I had made a decision that I was going to leave university, and I obviously needed to take care of myself. And so when I entered the trades, I did run into the stigma that you're talking about when I worked in buildings where, yeah, you were a second class citizen because you had drywall dust or something on you, right? I mean, there was times where occupants of buildings looked at you as like a tool they'd throw in a broom closet. And then there was other people that you worked with too that were just delighted that you were there to help them. So kind of turning that all around, it was very interesting. The stigma is huge, and I was guilty of thinking down about people back when I was in high school that were taking automotives. And I mean, they were the ones that can change the oil in their car. And I mean, they're the ones now that laugh at everyone that spends $150 to get their oil changed in their car. But then when I got into the trade, yeah, right, the tables were turned, and now I was the Neanderthal tradesperson, right? And then I was, and it was one of those things where it's like, oh, well, you're a university dropout. And it always kind of bothered me. And so for my own self gratification, I was very happy, and I'm very proud that I was able to get a university degree. And I mean, it's a master's degree, and it was 2 years of hell. But I'm very proud that I got it. And in that program, one of the questions you asked is like, what are you doing for your students? Well, the program I was in was a research-based course, and the final project I had in the program, it was a final term paper that I worked on for months. It's kind of like a capstone project, if people are familiar with that term, but it was a paper that was publishable. I just chose not to publish. But and so the term for my paper was, what are the barriers impeding academic success for electrical apprentices? And so I did a huge research project on that. And the project narrows in on electricians or in the electrical apprentices because of the scope of the project. They were concerned that apprentices in general was too vast, and I needed to narrow it out. However, when I look at the barriers to academic success, stigmas on there, lack of mentoring, funding, numeracy and literacy, so problems with reading and writing and problems with math, problems with job security, problems with time management, and then the other huge one is learning disabilities. So learning disabilities are obviously throughout all of society, but the numbers of students with learning disabilities in the trades is massive. So going through and doing all that research validated a lot of the problems I'd run into as an instructor, and it gave me more information about why my students weren't succeeding. So my concern for students is I want them to succeed, I want them to be successful, and I want them to be satisfied. And a lot of times I have to tell them, look, I want you to be satisfied, realize that I don't make the curriculum, right? However, I want you to be satisfied that we were able to get through the curriculum together.
No, it's very interesting. And I think I mean, obviously that program's given you a broader view on adult education, and then to be able to do that capstone and narrow in very specifically to your, you know, day-to-day job is, I don't know, such a cool learning experience. And you're obviously a lifelong learner, as I am myself. And I think just keeping that going is how you can still keep progressing in the trade, right? Even after 15 years in the same job, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's lifelong learning is not a catchphrase, it's a reality.
Jason, that now brings us to the podcast. It's your most recent endeavor. We started this, this is episode 6, so 12 weeks ago ish now. Why are you here? Why are we making this podcast together?
Well, Zach, why don't you tell me why I am here?
I think you're doing the podcast because I convinced you to do the podcast because I knew that you would like it. And was I right or was I wrong?
I am actually really enjoying it. And unfortunately, I figured out my career path when I turned about 40, which was a little while ago. And at that point in time of my life, I've always been interested in broadcasting. And I wasn't about to drop my career and start this mission of starting in broadcasting. So that was part of the reason I did it. And I'm really having lots of fun, and I'm learning lots of stuff actually from you. And yeah, it's been lots of fun. Of course, I've got other bigger answers on why I want to do the podcast, if you want to know about that too.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you're doing it because I pulled your teeth to get you to agree to do 3 pilot episodes. And I mean, it's tons of fun. So yeah, why are we keeping going with the podcast?
Yeah, it was really funny when I think when we had our conversation and I said, I'll do 3 and then we'll reconvene and talk about it. And we didn't even, I think the 3rd episode that we did was like, we were comfortable with what we were doing by then. Another reason, I mean, obviously I want to have fun. What you said earlier, like this is fun, but what you said earlier is totally true. It's all about lifelong learning. And so we have the opportunity to learn a lot about our trade in this podcast. And we have the opportunity to help others in our trade learn more about our trade. And so that's exciting. And I've learned a lot so far.
What's the most interesting thing that you've learned so far?
The most interesting thing I've learned so far, well, 2 things. First of all, when John Knoll talked to us about the symptoms from receiving an electrical shock, there were symptoms there and results, injuries that I was not aware of. And so that has been probably the most important thing I've learned through our podcast, is that we should 100% minimize electrical shock. I also, through my experience of going to graduate school and reading academic papers, I did read some on the effects of shock from John, and then I found some online. And yeah, we definitely need to be careful. We need to be wearing the proper PPE and then following the right rules. So that was really important so far. And I've been very happy so far. We've had two guests that I've known for a very long time in the industry. And they were both, they're both on our show. And I was just so impressed by their professionalism. So learning about shock and then seeing the professionalism of people I've worked with from the beginning of their career to present day has been very satisfying.
I couldn't agree more that we've learned cool stuff from all of our guests. I mean, the episode with John Knoll that you're talking about is episode number 3. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't listened yet. And then I guess, where do you see us going? Where do you want to take this podcast and what do you want to get out of it?
Well, I'm very impressed with the feedback we're getting from people. I think we're very hard on ourselves. Everyone's very hard on themselves. And so to get the positive feedback from people has been recharging. It's really helped. I would really like to have members or listeners contact us and say, hey, why don't you do an episode on this? Or why haven't you done an episode on that? So suggestions for topics, or special guests. Yeah. Like, so that's what I'd like to see moving forward. I mean, as we've started here, Zach, I mean, we've kind of just mined through some of the people that we know, and some of it has led to other guests, but more feedback from listeners would be great.
Yeah, engaging with the electrical community, I agree, would be excellent. And obviously, for everyone listening, you can reach out to us on Facebook at What's the Word Podcast. Join our page there, like our page. You can send us a message, reach out to us if you have any suggestions, like Jason says. We would love to hear from you. And other than that, Jason, I mean, I just wanted to chat with you today about that, like you're going to do with me one day. Anything else you'd like to add? Or if not, then where can people reach out to you if they want to chat with you some more?
They can find me on LinkedIn. It's pretty easy. Just Jason Cox, LinkedIn. I mean, Calgary electrician, I think is my title. I think you can find me through there. As you know, Zach's smiling here because when it comes to the technical and the Instagram and the Twitter and the Facebook, all the social media, all the tech stuff, Zach is our, he's our expert on that. And I'm sure if you've listened to a few of our episodes, it's very obvious.
Thank you everybody for coming and listening today. I had a great time chatting with you, Jason. And even though we've been, you know, friends for years and talking together for 12 weeks now on the show, I even learned quite a bit from you tonight, more just about how you got to where you are. We never really discussed your apprenticeship or anything up until we met. So it's great to hear that. For everyone who's listening, please make sure you subscribe to the show so you get your automatic downloads every second Monday when they come out. Like I mentioned, reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram at What's the Word Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you subscribe, share it with a friend who you think might be interesting, and keep yourself safe out there. And if you can, someone else too.